Good morning, Rav Osek. We left off, we had looked at this intriguing Gemara on Daf Hey Amud Beis through Daf Vav Amud Aleph. Which discussed whether Rabbi Elazar's assumption was Rabbi Elazar's assumption was correct that karbanos that come posthumously are kosher ve'eino miratze, or whether perhaps the yorshim are kone those karbanos and now they become the karbanos of the yorshim and now they are miratze. And the Gemara brought two pieces of evidence. In the end, it thought maybe because they were shutfin kedutz mura, but in the end, that they worked out two pieces of evidence, which pushed in opposite directions. On the one hand, if a guy dies and he leaves a mincha and he has multiple children or heirs, then they could still bring the mincha, and it's not considered minchas hashutfin. That indicates that lo kan yehu, lehu, that it's not theirs, because if it was theirs, they'd be shutfin, and that would passel a mincha. On the other hand, if the guy dies, his Yorish can do Tumura if he is a single Yorish. And since we know only the Miskaper can do Tumura, that shows that Kanyelahu, that in fact it does become the carbon of the Yorish. So, and it's Maratz on the Yorish. So we're not sure. So in the end, the Gemara gives a cryptic answer. And it says, Mikiv alo Mechapra, Mikofya Mechapra. It's not Mechapra on the Yorish. Keva. But it is Mechapa on the Yoresh Kofya. And the last thing we mentioned was a machlok, as we've shown him what Kofya meant, grammatically where it came from. Rashi says Kofya is means floating, meaning a surface level kapara as opposed to a deep kapara. It's a partial kapara, not a full kapara. And the Sefer Ha'aruch and the Rabbeinu Hananel said kofya is the lashon kofa yadayim is smicha, meaning the smicha is mechaper, because we know that our Gemara I mentioned follows the opinion of Rav Meir that a yorish does smicha and a yorish can, although he shouldn't do tamura. The smicha is mechaper sounds like, you know, the karbon fundamentally is not intended to be mechaper for the yorish, but since he does smicha and is involved in bringing it, then it's mechaper for him. Okay, we'll come back to that. The basic question becomes, will the real Bailam please stand up, as it were? What's the answer to the Gemara? It says Kanya, it says Lo Kanya. And the Gemara never answers definitively Kanya or Lo Kanya. Just says, Mikiva Lo Mechapra, Mikofya Mechapra. So the question is, in the end, are the Yorshim Kona the Karbon or not? On the one hand, you might think, the Yorish is Kona the Karbon. After all, he's the Yorish. Right? On the other hand, not so pashut, because a karban is, the karban doesn't actually belong to the morish, right, to the father. He was makdishe. Okay, there's a whole discussion of who a karban belongs to, but the simple shot is that a karban does not belong to the person once he's makdishe. It belongs to hektish. And therefore, the person has a relationship to the karban, but you can't necessarily inherit every relationship. The person has certain privileges. You can't inherit every privilege. You can inherit property. This is not the property, and that's exactly what the Tosfos Rid says, right? Says the Tosfos Rid in Psachim. He says, Ein ha-korban kashar mamon aviv shu yorsho. It's not like money, like monetary property that you could be yorish. Ela korban nikral shem aviv. It's still the father's korban. It is not the son's, or the yorish's korban. Therefore, concludes the Tosfos Rid, V'yolo shlomim akriven al shem atzmo, atzmo meaning the morish, right? He says, who is this nikar val shem, right? We know the carbon is brought l'shem someone, right? Remember, we have shinui bailim, right? Is it brought l'shem Ruvain? Is it brought l'shem Shimon? The answer is, it's brought l'shem the morish, the dead person. And we had a discussion, Morty and I had a discussion earlier, is there kapar for dead people? Is there not kapar for dead people? Clearly, certain types of kapara are tricky to do with dead people, but apparently it doesn't bother the Tosfos Rid to say that this is brought al shame the mate. You know, whatever type of kapara you can or can't get posthumously, we bring this kapara. This is Ruvain. Ruvain passed away, but we can still bring his ola, and it still accomplishes something. And what's the Tosfos Rid's proof that it does not belong to the Yorish, that basically lo kanya lehu?
he quotes the proof from the Machloket Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda.
Here it's always a tricky one. Right? In a few places in Shas we had that Rav Meir holds Yoresh Somech and Yoresh Meimir. And that's how we paskin, and that's who our sugya follows. Rav Yehuda holds Yoresh Eino Somech and Yoresh Eino Meimir. Now, one thing is probably clear. Rabbi Yehuda thinks the Yorish is not the Bible. After all, he says the Yorish doesn't do smicha, the Yorish does tmur, it's not tmur. Basically, the Yorish has no more privilege over this carbon, seemingly, than anyone else. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, clearly the Yorish is not the Bible. Now, here it says, the Tosas Ritim Sachim, he says, Hakorban Yikari al Shemo Shalohu Amayin Yorish Veinu Somech Alevad Hakorban Shem Aviv Nikra Velo Al Shemo. He says, how can Rabbi Yehuda hold the Yorish does not do smicha and can't do tumura? If it was his carbon, of course he would. Must be that it's his father's carbon, not his. Now, of course, that's a bit of a cheap proof, because yeah, in a Hanami, according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's not the Yorish's carbon. The question is, what does Rabbi Meir think? Maybe says Rabbi Meir think, you're right, it's not his carbon, but he can still do tumura and smicha. Or does Rabbi Meir think, you say it's not his carbon, I say it is his carbon, and that's precisely my point. So the Tosas Rid is making an obvious assumption, right? Is it the son's carbon? Rabbi Yehuda, I think, would clearly say no. That's pashut. The question is, why does Rabbi Meir argue, right? Within Rabbi Meir, you could go two ways. You could have said that yes, and that's the machlokas. The machlokas is whose carbon is it? But that's not what the Rid says. What the Rid says is, no. He agrees that it's not the Yorish's carbon. Then why does the Yorish do smicha and tmura? So he adds, for Rabbanan, meaning Rabbi Meir, to Amri, just because there are a few Stam Mishnayot like him, so he calls it Rabbanan, Yorish v'somech, Yorish somech u'meimar, Mishom de Rab Yekra, that's a special Gzeres HaKos, so a special Reboy agrees that no, but there's a Reboy Gzeres HaKotov that he is somech u'meimar. Again, this is the last time I'll mention it, but Somech HaMeimer means he's Somech, and that's a good thing, and he should. Meimer means if he does tumor, it's valid. It's a bad thing, and he shouldn't. Okay. And that's what I might have said, but that's not what the Tosas Rish thinks, right?
Why? It just says the core is Zerat
HaKatuv. No, because
Zerat HaKatuv, you know that.
But that's not true, because he's using this to prove what he said from the very beginning. Shech Karban Nikra Al Shem Aviv. Shech Karban Nikra Al Shem Aviv. It's clear he thinks that's the maskana, the rabbanon of the maskana. Yes?
The language of Nikra Al Shem, what the Rebbe said before, he said it's Akre Shom Velo Shalom. He doesn't say Velo Shalom, it just says Al Shem, it's Kore Al Shem Aviv. It doesn't say that it belongs to the Aviv, it's just Kore Al Shem Aviv.
Okay, so. Okay, so hold that thought. That's what that's what Joel started to say last time. Hold that thought, but clearly he's saying on the one hand, it's Al Shem Aviv Nikra, on the other hand, Im a karban yikari al shemo v'shalohu, im means it's not. Then we duck that absurdum. So apparently he thinks not yikari al shemo and not shalohu. So I'm not sure that there's much of a makum in there for what you're saying. The Rid seems pretty clear that it's not his, it is the father's karban. Ultimately, lo kan yilahu. And why is he do tmura? He does tmura al pi gzeret hakatov. What's the gzeret hakatov? Apparently the gzeret hakatov is that even though it's not his karban, he still has a certain responsibility for, after all, just like the Yoresh nowadays in our minhag says Kaddish for the father, right? So too, he has to bring the Karbanos to the father. He has a certain achrayot to step into his father's shoes and take care of certain things for his father. So because he has certain achrayot, therefore he gets this kapara kofya. He gets a little kapara from the fact that, after all, it's not his Karban, but he is the memalei makom of the person whose karbon it is, and he is taking responsibility for the karbon, so he gets a little kapara, although not terribly serious. And because of that, there's a gzeiras hakasov that small amount of involvement is enough to give him the right to do tmura, But ultimately, it's not. Ultimately, it's not his. So, if we were to ask ourselves, right? Kanya, right? What's the lashon in the Gemara? Kanya lahu, or lo kanya lahu? Says the lahu, meaning yoresh, is not. Let's say this a little better. Okay, well, yoresh is not the bala karban. This is the opinion of the Tosfos Rib. And if you ask, Yorish not the Bala Karban, and who is the Bala Karban? The Tosfos is exceedingly clear that who is the Bala Karban? The Mit is the Bala Karban. Right? So, who is the Bal HaKarban? Says the Rid in Psachim, the Morish, even though he passed away, the carbon is still nikra for him, it's still to be a chaper for him on whatever level one can accomplish that. The rugged shover takes a similar approach. Safas Fanaf, I put on the sheet here, this is based on the Gemara of Zion and Beis, we'll come back to. But in the Gemara, remember we had Rav Pinchas Breder of Mori, who says, there is Shinu Baile Macher Misa. Who's the Baile Macher Misa? So everyone in the world assumes it's the Yoresh, says the rugged chover, right? This is Kanya Lahu, right? The Yorish is the Bala Karban. This is Pashup Shat, is Rav Pinchas Bray Dirav Mari Lefi Call him a Farshan Chutz. Everyone but the rugged chover assumes that at least for Pinchas Breger and Marty, who said there's Bailam Lacher Misa, he means the Yorshim are Bailam Lacher Misa. He means it's the Yorshim's Karban. The Tzatnas Paneach, the rugged chover comes with a big Kiddush. He says, no, he doesn't mean it's the Yorshim's Karban. He means it's the Karban of the mate. It's the dead person's Karban. As he's Medaik, this in a Tosos. If anyone looked up the Tosos, you'll see it's not so Pashut. Le'inyan Shem Hames. Okay. That you're makrivit for the mace, so this is also the tzafnas paneach, at least, right? It's not clear if he's saying this for everyone or only for Pinchas Breger of Mari, but at least, lefachos, at least, ledas, Rab Pinchas, Bray, Rab Mari, although I think he might say this for everyone, the Morish, the chazan ish, right? Only put in brackets here. Maybe I should have put on a sheet because he just has a very clear formulation about this. The Chazan Ish on our sugya in the beginning of Zvachim says, "Mashva du masik du lo kanya lahu." He says very clear. The maskana is lo kanya lahu. Says the Chazan Ish. Maskana. The Gemara never says maskana kanya lahu or lo kanya lahu. Just says kiva and kufra, kiva and kufya. But he says mashva. That's what he says mashva. Lo kanya lahu. So who's the pilum? Well, there's another option. He doesn't say the bottom is the mace. In kapar le mace. What's the other option? If they're not kona, and the mace can't, do you have kapar anymore? Who's the pilum?
Nobody.
There's such a thing as nobody being the pilum. After all, if a ger dies without yorshim, right? And he leaves a carbon, we still bring it. Even though, I mean, I guess maybe you could say he's still the Bible. Okay, not a good proof. Anyway, that's what he says. I'll just read the Lashon of the Chazan Ish. De'ola karva b'lo b'ilam klal. Okay, that's very clear, says the Chazan Ish. Ola karva b'lo b'ilam klal. That is very, the fifth paragraph of Chazan Ish and Zvachim, very clear. So either you have the option of the mace is still the b'ilam, or ain't b'ilam. A carbon doesn't need b'ilam. A carbon. It's nice for a carbon to have bilim. It's advantageous to the bilim, but it's not necessary for a carbon to have bilim. A carbon can just stop be a carbon. It's Hashem's. What does it need bilim? Hashem's the bilim. You want to know what it's b'chaper for? So it can be a chaper for someone, or it can just be Hashem's. Yes.
The Kohen's Makri, what carbon does he have? Stama, Beitim, will they tell me what to
according do? According to the Chazan Ish, well, besides the fact that in Daf and Vav and Beis, we learned according to The Rashi and Tosfos, most of the Rambam, that they made it tonight bezdin that he shouldn't have kavana. But if he would have kavana, he would just have kavana for no bailam. This is an ola without bailam. You can have that kavana. Have an ola without bailam. Not a big deal. Okay, those are the two possibilities. And lo kan yelahu, this is exactly the Chazon Ish used this lashon. The reason I'm putting the Chazon Ish here is because he used the lashon of mashiv demaskana de lo kan yelahu, right? As opposed to the other possibility, which is that maybe kan yelahu, which we'll get to in a moment. Why would that be necessary for him?
No, it's just that he proved that there is such a thing as a korban of my body.
No, there is pasul, so it's not such a good proof. Okay, so now what's the just nafkamina in terms of shakla v'tari of how we read our Gemara? The one nafkamina, which is not really a nafkamina, I admit, but one second, yeah. Is just shakla v'tari the Gemara. We are attacking Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar says matzinu bavon la'achermisa shem kshirim b'maratzim. Is Rabbi Elazar attacked or is he defended in the end? Right. Now that's not necessarily it's not quite an afkamina, but if you say kanyulahu, right? If you say kanyulahu. Then, one second. Yeah. If you say lo kan yelahu, then naf. One second. Sorry. So first let's start with our sugya. So one, it's not a nafkamina, it's just like the question of how to read our sugya out of curiosity. So I'll put it in parentheses. Maskonas hasugya. The Indian Rabbi Elazar says the Chazon Ish. He says the Shabbat Kavam Matzin Ba'Lachamisa Ksheirin Ve'Ein Maratzin. Says the Chazon Ish. He says Shapir Ka'amar Rabbi Elazar, meaning Rabbi Elazar is right. This is a good precedent for a carbon that's bala akramisa veina maratze. There's no real kona. It's not really maratze for anyone. They just have some kufya, some slight. But it's not real ritzui for them. As opposed to, if you said the maskana was kanya lehu, then you would have to say that Rabbi Elazar was wrong. Right? Which is fine, meaning in the end he was not the maskana, he was just at early stage in the shakla tired there. If you say really kanya lehu, then it's kosher maratza. Hey, this is really the carbon of someone who's maratza for them. And then Rabbi Elazar would be wrong. When he says, Achar Misa is bun, it's kosher in the Maratza.
So the point before, so I don't agree. So the Pesachim is possible because the Pesachim is Bible. But the very fact that it doesn't have a Bible proves that the Yorish or the Maid is not a
Aha. Well, that wasn't told someone who died, you know. Right. Okay, but I hear you're tied to. Fine. Okay, I'm over.
So is this kufya a little bit of ritui?
Yes.
And without it, then you wouldn't, then it wouldn't be possible to justify Rebbe Lazar. How much is in this reason?
That's exactly the question. So let me come back to it for a second. Okay, so the main factors are the two factors we started with. What are the two factors we started with? Number one, lama minchas shnei yorshim kreva. Right? This is a proof that they're not kona because it's not minchas hashutfin. So, says the... excuse me. If you say lo kan yelahu, then it makes perfect sense. Then micha, because it's not minchas hashutfin, ella minchas hameis o mincha b'levayim. Right, depending on which formulation you take, then it makes perfect sense. If lo kan yelahu, then that's the part of the Gemara that makes sense. That lo kan yelahu, it's not there, so it's not minchas hashutfin. But what if you say kan yelahu? What if you say kan yelahu? Then, if you say kan yelahu, then, excuse me.
Why isn't it a psula minchas hashotfin? So here, too, the Tzon Kodshim comes in, and the Tzon Kodshim, he reads this in the Rambam, that in the end, kanyaluhu, that he says the Rambam, we'll see in a moment why he says it's the Rambam, right? But he says for the Rambam, we'll put the Tzon Kodshim here, let me see if he has a good phrase that I can quote. He says, one second, yeah, the last line of the Tzon Kodshim. The Avagav maskinan hachlo kanyaluhu. He says the last word in the Gemara is lo kanyaluhu, the last phrase. But that's not a maskana. Svila around the Shakta Vatarya hachi. That's just within the Shakta Vatarya they had a stage lo kanyaluhu. The Matzi lidchos lo kanyaluhu, svila. Aval aliba de emes kanyaluhu, kdemuchem isogila el. Aliba de emes kanyaluhu. That's pretty clear, says the Tzon Kodshim. Here we have a phrase on each side. Tzon Kodshim says aliba de emes kanyaluhu. There was a stage in the Shakta Vatarya of lo kanyaluhu. You might have thought that was the maskana. No, leave that as kanyaluhu. And if kanyaluhu, then why is it, let's just put over here, right? Lama yoresh meimir. So this is nicha. This is just the Shakta Vatarya of the Gemara, right? What did the Shakta Vatarya of the Gemara say? It makes sense that the Minchas card if it's not Kanyaluhu. It makes sense they do to the Yorsh Tzvura if it's Kanyaluhu. So he says, the Yorsh Tzvura for sure Kanyaluhu. How about the Minchas HaShotfin? So says the Tzon Kodshim, says the Tzon Kodshim, no problem. He says, in our Havamina we thought that this proved low Kanyaluhu. But in the end, what do we say? It's not that Shutfin can't bring a Mincha. Shutfin can bring a Mincha. What can Shutfin not do? They can't. They can't be makdish a mincha.
Right.
Shutfin can't donate a mincha. But if the mincha's already been donated, then Shutfin can bring it. Now, only a yachid can donate a mincha. And usually, if a yachid donates a mincha, the yachid brings the mincha. But if the yachid donates a mincha and died, his kids are Shutfin. Shutfin can't bring a mincha. They just can't donate a mincha. He says that very clearly. He says, the mincha shani the ikar kpeda al nidava shlo yisnad vushnayim. Nidava's donate. Two people shouldn't donate a mincha, but two people can be the bailam to bring a mincha. So that's what he says. He says, even though the Gemara didn't sound that way, see, that was Mahavi in the Gemara before that. That was in the Shakta Vatarya. Shakta Vatarya hachi. He says, Shutfin can bring a mincha, they just can't donate a mincha. Okay.
The limud is from nefesh, ki takriv.
Ah, so the question is, what does it mean, takriv? So he reads takriv as donate, not takriv as offer up on the altar.
Takriv is makdish.
No? Yes, takriv is makdish. Now, in the Drushas Chazal, we do find sometimes takriv means makdish, although I would not say that's the pshuta shel mikra. And I would not say usually find that way in Chazal, but occasionally Chazal do darsh and takriv to mean makdish. Like, for example, the extra time it says not to be makriv balmum, it means not to be makdish balmum. Now I understand, because that's an extra time. That's not a pashtun shot. But that's how he reads it. He reads it as, you can like him, you cannot like him, but that's how he reads it.
That's also basically what the Rambam is saying. That your makdish mincha, the hakrava, is basically a continuation of that act. The shoot themes. The father starts, the shutfin can finish that off. Meimir is a new activity. Shutfin can't start a new activity.
Aha, that is a very nice way of putting it. You're what he's saying. Here it's a continuation, so a yachid started, they can continue. Okay, maybe that's what the Tzon Kodshim means. The amkus of the Tzon Kodshim, or that's maybe a better pshat. Or you could say that since Yachid started, Shutfim can continue. Right, that's what Morty's saying. And as opposed to Tzmura, which is a different story. Okay, great. Let me come back to this.
Greece,
yes?
Isn't that something in the Greek distinguishing between the Tavta and the Gabra of Shutfim? In other words, that the Gemara's Tavamina was that only Mincha Shutvim was, Mincha Shutvim in the Cheft of the Mincha was possible. And the Maskana is that the Sofus was about it's only in the Gavre. In other words, you can't have a Mincha, which is the property of two. It's just the two people can't do the I don't know if I'm saying it right.
Let me come back to that. Let me come back to that in a second. No, you're right, but let me come back to it in a second. Let's just take the other factor raised in our Gemara. How about the issue of Tamura? Right? So, in Tamura, then we already know. The Rid already said this out for us. If you say they're Kanya, makes perfect sense. And if you say Lo Kanya, then the Rid already answered for us. Then it's a Reboy Hakasov, and it's a Reboy Yakasov, and the fact they can do Tamura doesn't prove their Bailam. It just proves it's a Reboy Yakasov, they can do Tamura because they have some minimal involvement, which is called Kaparis Kofya, and that minimal involvement allows them to to do Tamura. If you look, though, at the Ravid that I quoted you from the Taurus Kohanim, this Ravid, the Taurus Kohanim, I found in the Knesset HaRishonim. I don't know if anyone's seen. One day, if you go to the library, open up a book called Knesset HaRishonim. Rav Mordechai Ilan, I think, is the one who wrote on Zvachim. Or unless it's Rav Yaakov. It's basically on Maseches Zvachim. He has a few Maseches Zvachim. Anachos, Tamura, Erfin. He just collects Rishonim from all over the place. In a book, Knesset HaRishonim, and then he writes nice Lumdish footnotes, beautiful Lumdish footnotes actually here. He has a very nice one. You learn by the Brisker Rav. He's a big. What?
Rav Lichtenstein brought this also to write
it. Yeah, correct. He also brought it. I could have gotten it from there as well. Anyway, the Ravid and Taurus Kohanim is obviously, you can imagine, that Meforshim on Midrashi Halacha would be big in Kachim, because as the Mishnah tells us, there's a lot of psukim for Kachim. So says the Ravid here, I think the opposite approach of Tosfos is written. Im Hamr Yamir, the Rab say Yo Reish, Hey Rash Alfishim Hakes of Karba Mbase of Bobino Vahamer Bomer for Afal P. Shane on a Mamer Karba Shane Shalom. Oh, you can't do a tour in someone else's carbon. Sivay Yahus were so Mahu ain't to do Shalom of Base by them. Hachi Gabi Yorish, Kaki Karbon, Dinde Dami, and Unami Machabi Gabe. It's like his carbon, and he's also a miskaper. It sounds from the Ravid, even though one could, I admit, the Lashon is somewhat ambiguous, because whenever it says kit, there's some ambiguity, but it sounds like he's saying something very different than the Rid. The Rid is saying, really, he's not Kanya Lahu, but there's a Reboy Yakasov. It sounds to the Ravid like, you might have thought that it's not his carbon, but really, carbon di day, Damya, really, it is his carbon. So it seems to me that the way the Ravid's reading this is, Hamer Yamer, the Rabbi say, Yorish is teaching us that it's also the Yorish's carbon. So, this is, I think, the mashmos of the Ravid, even though if you want to take it a different way, you can. I think also, Yemredayik, this is that his objection was this idea called base bailim, that it needs to, I'm not going to bring in too many sugyos in Tamura. Anyway, what's the nafkamina? Whether the Tamura is because the Yorish is the owner, or the Tamura is because the Yoresh just has a Reboy Hakasa that his involvement makes him involved enough that he can do Tamura, but you don't need to be a full owner to do Tamura. So, first of all, just in formulation, we know that two Yorshim can't do Tamura. Why can two Yorshim not do Tamura? So says Tosos here, two Yorshim can't do Tamura. Kiva Eger quotes the line. He says, Shneim Ayorchim have the kach mikri shutfin velo mamirim. They're called shutfin. They can't do tamura because they're shutfin. Likewise, says the Rambam in Hilchas Tamura. The Rambam in Hilchas Tamura, Perek Aleph, Halacha, Hey, says, I apologize. Hayorish meimir hiniach banim l'shnei banim u'meis harizu kreve in mamir b'asher in b'shutvim b'shutvim in osin tamur kol shabiyardu. The Rambam and Tosos both say two yorshim can't do tamura because they're shutvim. What do you mean because they're shutvim? Ask for Rabbi Akiva Eger. It's not because they're shutvim. They're not kanyelu.
It's not theirs. Rather, why is it? As we read in the Shakmataria. Hamer Yamir is Lashon Yachid to show that one can do and not two. It's Xeris of also one and not two. And that's what Rikiv Eger says here. It says, Tamuli, Heichi Matsima Matsana Matsu Beiz Yorshim Mikri Shutfin. Hayesh Lomar, they're not Shutfin. Hatam, because it's Xeris Akasov, Hamer Yamir Larabos Yorish Aleph Echad Meimir Vein Shnayim Emirin. Bahadli Kari Lamaskana. So he has an argument about on this, and the Karen over here actually says the same thing, even though I didn't put it in the Karos. And they point out, just 1 second, in Rashi, says Rashi, the Lecha Mishnah quotes the Rashi. Where does he? Give me a second to figure out if he says where the Rashi that he's quoting is. Apologize. Maisa Karbanos Yod Daled says he. I find it. I'll find it. If not, then I will.
The last line he brings Rashi.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. Kapar kibush yerushal in lahem hilkach. Gabi mincha kshir lekodlo shutfne vol kapar hilkach meimer. Okay. No, maybe Rashi didn't say this. The Rashi quotes here is the last line of the sugya says she yorish bailov mamish ein lahem. That's the line he means from Rashi, right? Rashi's not about the tumura. Sorry, I put him in the wrong place. If you look at the last Rashi on the sugya, mikivelo mechaper kufi mechaper kaparak vushi yorish bailov mamish ein lahem. The yorish is not bailov mamish, right? That's good in Rashi here. The yorish is not bailov mamish. We should put this. Lo kanya lehu, we will put Rashi here. as well, we'll see that we can put the Grizz. We'll add him in a second that he's not Bailov Mamish. Now, let's just go back to the issue of Tumur says where we keep Eger, right? Lama ein shnei yorshim memirim says Tosos. And the Rambam, Shutfin. And the Lecha Mishnah asks on the Rambam, and Rabbi Akiva Eger asks on Tosfos, he says, that's peculiar. Because they're not Shutfin, they're not Kamilu, it should be because of Xeris HaKasav. And this is what Rabbi Akiva Eger says. Says Rabbi Akiva Eger, he says, no, Xeris HaKasav, and not because of Shutfin. Okay, so here also, you know, why are they doing Tumura? Is it a special Xeris HaKasav, or is it just regular Bailus? The Tosos seems to imply that it's regular Bailus, because he doesn't have to say this. It's not necessary for a Shakmatari. He just throws out the phrase, they're Shutfin, and the Rambam just throws that because they're Shutfin. While the, Rabbi Kivanger says that's not true, that's not the Pshat in the Gemara, that's the Lechemish says, that's not what it sounds like from Rashi. Really, it's just because Xeris HaKasav. Interestingly, in the footnotes of the Knesset Rishonim, he has a fascinating nafkamina that he wants to say lemaisa. So far, we haven't really had nafkaminas lemaisa so much. But he wants to say lemaisa. There's a rule: a bailim can not only do tumura, he can also send a shliach or authorize someone else to do tumura. As a matter of fact, if the owner of a karban says kol harotze lahamer yavo v'yamir, whoever wants to can do tumura, then anyone can do tumura. So here's an interesting question. Can the Yoresh authorize anyone else to do Tumura? Mm-hmm. So Knesset Rishonim says, that depends on this Chakira. Right? Here's the suffix. Ha'im Yoresh Yachol Lomar Kal Harotze Lehamir Yavo V'yamir. This is the Knesset Rishonim. Says the Knesset Harishonim, he says, if they're really Kanyulahu, then they can. But if it's just Xeris HaKasav, the Xeris HaKasav, the Yorish can do Tumura. There's no gzeres akasa that he can authorize other people to do tumura. It's enough that he can do tumura if it's not really his karban. But he can't authorize other people to do tumura. So that's the Knesset Rishonim's interesting nafkamina. sorry, that he gives. And the okay, what this perhaps no, okay. I'll just throw out a couple of other nafkaminas that the Rebbe gives a nice nafkamina. The Rebbe discusses a lot of things, many of which are totally other things get into other sugyas, but he gives one nice nafkamina to who the Bailam is. He says, what if it's a mincha? Not in terms of shofas, that we dealt with. What rule of mincha depends who the Bailam is? Big nafkamina, lamaisa, what you do with a mincha, depending on who the Bailam is. Anyone? It's a minchas kohen, right? Pasuk in the beginning, the second paragraph of Parshat Tzav. If it's a minchas kohen, then what do you do with it? You burn it all in the mizbeach. And if it's a minchas Yisrael, then you burn a handful of kometz on the mizbeach and you eat the rest. So here's a great question. What if a kohen had a mincha and died and left it to a Yisrael? Or Yisrael had a mincha and died and left it to a kohen, right? Not so hard. The kohen could die, he could leave it to his son. Maybe his son's a chol. I mean, he should have made better life decisions, but it happens. Or a kohen died, and he left it to his grandson, his daughter's son, or to his, you know, to his sister's son, or, you know, some other relative who's Yisrael. Or Yisrael died and left it to his grandson, who's a kohen. Not a crazy scenario at all. So do you burn it, or do you eat it? Right? Whose mincha is it? That's a great question. So says the Rebbe Trevor, this is an entirely new nafkamina. Says the Rebbe Chavar. He says, excuse me, sorry. How about Kohen Sheyorash miYisrael, viYisrael Sheyorash miKohen? Right? Who do you follow for determining what happens with this mincha? So, says the Rebbe Chavar, at least, I'm sure one could analyze this differently, says the Rebbe Chavar, he says that if the Yorish is really Koneh, then it depends on the Yorish. If the Yorish is really Koneh, then it depends on the Yorish. But if it's still the carbon of the mate, right, then it depends on the Morish. He doesn't say what he would have said if he was a Chazanish. What if it's nobody's carbon? Then what do you do with it? That's a fascinating question. You know, if it's nobody's carbon, does it still like have a certain inertia? Or if it's nobody's carbon, then it's not a Kohen's carbon. But and the way the Rebbe Chavar sets it up, is it the dead guy's carbon or is it the kid's carbon? If the kid's carbon, it depends on the kids of Yisrael or a Kohen. If it's the dead person's carbon, it depends on the dead person's Yisrael or a Kohen.
Isn't for a mincha that whose it belongs to, whose makdish it? Not who translated later. If you say it's a minchas kohen, the kohen was makdish. That makes it a minchas kohen.
Okay, so that's what I meant when I said you could disagree with the Rebbe Chavar. You could say that the identity of minchas kohen and minchas Yisrael depends on how it's hooked us. There's a kedusha of minchas kohen and kedusha of minchas Yisrael. You could have said that, but I'm partial to the Rebbe Chavar analyzes this. No, it shouldn't depend on who is makdish. It should depend on who is mechaber for. Who we're bringing it. If we're bringing it to Mechaper and a Kohen, that's one thing. If we're bringing it to Mechaper and Yisrael, that's another thing. So I'm not convinced. I hear your taina, but I'm not convinced by it.
Can someone donate or sell a mincha, and therefore the receiver, the buyer, it'll be his and the whole
thing? No. Hamocher olaso v'shlom av lo asa v'lo klom. You cannot sell a carbon once you're makdashit. I mean, the only way to transfer a carbon once you're makdashit, again, carbon Pesach has special rules, we're not getting into that. The only way to transfer karma to your makdashit is to die and leave it to your yorshim, and that's exactly your chakira. Maybe you haven't really transferred it, right? Maybe that does transfer it, and maybe it doesn't. But you certainly can't sell it. Okay, why you can't sell it? There's a famous Reb Chaim about this, Meister Sheni and Hekdish. Is it because it mamish doesn't belong to you, or just because it belongs to you, but it's sacrilegious to sell it? But we're not going to get into that now. I'll just want to add, the Knesset Rishonim, he's very good at nafkaminas. He says, hold on, I have lots of other nafkaminas. How about every halacha that applies to a bal karban, does the yorish have to follow it or not? For example, he says, lina, when you bring a karban, you have to sleep overnight in your shalayim. So does the yorish have to sleep overnight because it's his karban, or does he not have to sleep overnight? Which, again, all of these you could say maybe it just doesn't depend on who's the Bailim, but on who does the bringing, but some of them more so. Another one, a great one. If a Kohen brings a carbon, he has the right to the hide and or flesh, depending on what carbon it is. If a Kohen brings an Ola, he gets the hide, even if it's not his Mishmar. So if the Yorish is a Kohen, does he get the hide? Because it's his carbon. Or no, it's not his carbon, so he doesn't get the hide. So all the privilege basically says lots of rules. He says there's a rule that the Baal Korban has to be omed when they bring the carbon. So does the Yorish have to stand there when they bring the carbon, or does he just hand it off? And he doesn't have to stand there when they bring the carbon, etc. So he says lots of other nafkaminas. I'll just put them here. Five, that the Knesset HaRishonim says, but what they all have in common is, do all dinim of Baal Karban apply to the Yorish, right? So you say, if the Yorish is Kanyahu, then he's all the dinim of Baal Karban. If the Yorish is not Kanyahu, then he should not have the dinim of Baal Karban. You know, is it a guntif for him the day he brings it, like in some sense, etc.? And then, you know, yes, versus no, obviously, and then he just comes up with all the nafkaminas he can think of. Okay, many of those are questionable because you have to get into the local nature of each of those. Now, before we go on, or maybe not, I'll just point out that there are, let's just remember the original tension that underlied our sugya. The original tension that underlied our sugya was, on the one hand, they looked like they were not owners because there's no psul shutfus in a mincha. Right? Before you get to lumpus, just the Gemara. They look like they were not owners of the Nopsal Shukras in the Mincha, but on the other hand, they look like they look like they're not owners because there's Nopsal Shukras in the Mincha. The other hand, they look like they are owners because he can do Tamura if he's one person. How to resolve that? So basically, the two ways we sort of resolve that is, one way is the Tosas Rid. Really not an owner at all, it's just a Riboy accustomed to do Tamura. And the other way is the Tzon Kodshim, which Morty improved on a little, or added to, or developed, or revealed, is that really they're not owners at all. The reason there's no psul shutfus in a mincha is because it started out without shutfus, and that's good enough. There are some in-between formulations here, which I would like to point out. Number one, the Lecha Mishnah. The truth is, Lecha Mishnahs are not supposed to be so hard to understand. They're not rugged chavers. But this Lecha Mishnah, the last sentence or two, I had a little trouble understanding. But when he deals with the Rambam, what does the Lecha Mishnah say here, the one I quoted? He starts by saying, quoting the Rambams, and then he says he doesn't like the fact the Rambam called them Shutfim in Hilchos Tumura. Right? The Rambam called them Shutfim in Hilchos Tumura. Why are they Shutfim? They're really not Kanyalahu. And he says Rashi's very clear, they're really not Kanyalahu. Lefi Yezayish L'tmor or Beinu Zal, Shekasov, etc. And then he says, "Yishlomad the Rabbeinu Zal first to be a maskana lo v'taimid echel shnayim elin kashutfim." It's not because of Gzeiras Shekasov; it's because they're real shutfim. That's the psak of the Rambam. He puts the Rambam on the Kanyalu shutfim side. And then he says, "Sorry, just lost my place. Here we are. Elin shutfim ben miktas. They're partial shutfim. Mishum to be kufya miskapri. V'ainim shutfim legamri. Mishum to be kibal lo miskapri." They're partially shutfin, partially not shutfin. Ulainin akrava kravish of the nefesh make him the love of shutfin like gambre. Ulainin maimar, inchnaim and mimar, the mashrakar echad maimar, viaf gab, the hazanamik said nefesh, marine the habikhad gabi, hamorachash, mean lushnaim came in the hundred marine yorshma, hammer yammer, halomar bin el yachik, the mashrakar krava hablobos. In the end, he says, like, they're partially shutfin, partially not shutfin, they're partially shutfin, and that's why they can't do tumura. And they're partially not shutfin. And that's why they're allowed to bring a mincha. And how do we know that for mincha we call them not shut? We look at their not shut from side. And for tumur we look at their shut from side because of Hamar Yomer. And he goes back to the Gzeiras HaKasuv and says that tells us to look at the fact they're partially shutfin. So he's in between. I don't have a great formulation for what he is, but I'll just point out an in between formulation. The more complex formulation. There are two more complex formulation, and one is the Lecha Mishnah. Says the Lecha Mishnah, complex formulation, which again, what are they trying to struggle with? To resolve Tumura versus Mincha. So one is the Lechem Mishnah, says the Lechem Mishnah, Shutfim b'miktas, Einam Shutfim b'miktas. They're like partially owners, partially not owners, right? Partial owners, partial not owners. And how do we know when to look at which part? The Gzeres HaKasuv tells us when to look at which parts. That's why he ends up combining the Rabbi Akiva Eiger and the Toso. So therefore, Le'enyan Mincha Einam Shutfim. Le'enyan Tumura, they are Shutfim Alpi Gzeres HaKasuv of Hummer Yummer of the Rabbi Akiva Eiger. So there he says some in-between formulation, although he doesn't it gives you a very sharp categories for what way he is and what way he isn't.
The Tumura is a Choshen Mishpah type of issue.
Uh-huh.
And the first one...
Okay, hold that thought. So now, Joel's been... This has been... before he explodes, right? This has been building up for a few days by now. While he's still... While his outer surface is still intact, the Spiegler says in Philosophia, I put in brackets, he says, no, maybe there's an aspect of Kanya, an aspect of Lo Kanya, Lahu, but one that I can actually well define. And what does he say? He says, well, maybe there's two aspects. He says, there's Dini Mominos, and there's Nikrav Lishmo. Right? There might be two different aspects to owning something. Like, for example, this is a big machlokes, but many akronim say this has to do with the Dvar Avram that was in brackets. That if, remember, we had Miskaper, Makdish, Mosav Chomesh, Miskaper, Sotmur. I can be Makdish a Karban for your Kapara. You're another, I say I'm sponsoring your Karbanos. Or you made a neder, I'm sponsoring your carbon for your neder, or whatever the case, you mechal Shabbos b'shogeg, I'm sponsoring your chatas, whatever the case may be, I can sponsor your carbon. So according to, now let's think, go back to a shlomen, that's a better example. You owe a shlomen. Why do you owe a shlomen? Maybe you're a nazir, maybe you made a neder to bring a shlomen. For whatever reason you owe a shlomen, I'll sponsor the shlomen. You're the miskaper, you're the one who meets the shlomen. Who owns the meat? Right, shlomen is kachim kalim. Someone gets to eat the meat. So many of them write, I get to eat the meat. I'm still the bailim in Mamonos, you're just the bailim in Kapara, right? In Hakrava Ba'ado, in Lishma. So, says the Stipler, he says you can separate two kinds of bailus. There's Mamonos bailus, who owns the rights to it, which in Kachim Kalim is much more concrete rights. You actually get to eat food. Or give it away to your friends, etc. But it could be that even in Kachim, there is some mummonous aspect, even though we're not exactly sure. This is the tricky part, how it expresses itself. There is the mummonous aspect, the bailim in Choshen Mishpat, and then there's the bailim in Kachim. It's Nikrav L'Shem Hu, the Zorit Dedam L'Chaper on Hu. So says the Stipler, he says that the Yoresh becomes the bailim bidine mamados, but not le'enyan kapara. I know he gets kofia, but not real kapara. V'hakrava lishmo. He's the bailim bidine mamados, but he's not the one who it's being brought to be mechaper on who gets the ritzoy. He's not the bailim for Ritzoy. That you can't change. Meaning, once a guy's makdish a karban for his own spiritual elevation, you can't transfer that to someone else. However, the dini mamnis you can, and therefore he says, just give me a second, he says that the mincha is taloy be hakrava lishmo, and therefore they're not shutfin. Because they don't have bailus. However, Tumura, and this, he says, this is only according to the Sheet of Tosos. Tosos holds, it's lav dafka miskaper who can do Tumura. It is a bailum who can do Tumura, which is a big chiddush. Tmura is Toloi Bibailus, any type of Bailus. And therefore, they are therefore they are Shutfim, and that's how he explains Tosos and the Rambam, etc. So he says maybe it doesn't have to pick the Yorish, the Bailin, the Yorish, not the Bailin, pays Linyan Lot. Linyan Dini Mamanus Choshen Mishva, he's the Bailin. However, Le'inyan, the Hakrava, who the Hakrava is for, then he's not the Bailin. So I think here he's more on the Rashi and the Rid side of things. It's really Nikar of Ba'avor, the Morish, or Ba'avor nobody. However, he says, it is something that's subject to inheritance, unlike the Tosas Rid, it is subject to inheritance, and therefore, that's why he can do Tumorah, because he still inherits the Dinei Mamnos.
What the Lechem Mishnah says is that Shutfim B'miksas bothers me. It's not that they're total Shutfim. The question is, are they Bali?
Correct.
Their Shutfus goes to Bali, but it's not that they're partial Shutfim.
Correct. The Shutfim Miksas really bind them B'miksas. He just doesn't define that. I agree.
I think the
Grizz,
I mean...
Which Grizz?
I don't do it. I want you to look at it if you don't mind. I'm going to respond, because I don't understand that. I thought that was in the same direction as I didn't see the Kilos Yaakov.
Okay. It could be that I said that.
You were talking about the Chavta and the Gavra. The definition of the Korban is not...
Okay, give me a second. I'll get to that. Okay, now, just give me a few more moments here. Rafi, I'm sorry. I wish I could leave this board here, but I'm going to need to erase it.
Maybe it's not an appropriate question, but does Korban and Tzibor fit in 10 years? Is Korban and Tzibor the Krava? Is everyone said Krava?
The simple shot in Korban and Tzibor is that the Tzibor is the Bible.
But then no mincha of the Tzibor, then all menachot of the Tzibor would be Kaleo, right? Because the Kohanim are also the one.
I mean, if you remember, right, that's what Yohanim said.
Yes,
right, so the answer, and L'chor, the answer is, that we said at the time, which was fairly recently, was that the Bailus of the Tzibur is not a Shutfus of the Yechidim. That would be Mincha Shutfin, would be a problem anyway. The Tzibur is an entity in and of itself, which transcends Kahuna.
Okay. Does the Tzibur have worship?
No, because the Tzibur can't die. The Gemara says Tzibur lo met. Tzibur can't die. You know, an interesting thing, back to Morty's issue, the whole question, can you have kapara for a dead person or not? Someone wants to prove you can't, the Gemara Egla Rufa. It says, kapara le'amcha Yisrael shepadita Hashem, and what is amcha shepadita Hashem? The Midrash is, even for the Yotzei Mitzrayim, where Hashem took out Mitzrayim, the Egla Rufa is a kapara even for the Yotzei Mitzrayim. It says, this proves you can have kapara for a dead person. The Rav denied that. The Rav says, no, this is not proving you can for a dead person. That's not Machaper and the people who left Mitzrayim. It's Machaper and the Am who left Mitzrayim. The Am is in Tzibur, and Tzibur never dies. It's like me. My molecules might regenerate, and I might, in 20 years from now, not have any of the same cells I have now. But I'm still the same person, even though all the cells died and new ones were born. So Tzibur can't die because Tzibur is an organic entity. Okay, that's a nice mark, but not for now. Let me just finish up our sugya now. We have two things to discuss. One, which I put in brackets, which really I'm not going to discuss in detail now because we discussed it last year, I think, yes. But the whole question of smicha, a yorish can also do smicha. So the question is, if the yorish is kan yilahu, then it makes sense, not just can do, he must do smicha. He's commanded to do smicha. If he's kan yilahu, that makes a lot of sense, the yorish does smicha. He's the bala karba. If he's not kan yilahu, then just like we ask why does he do tumura, we can ask why he does smicha. And what would the Joseph's right answer? He does smicha, because the riboy akasav, right? He's not the bailam, but he does smicha anyway, because the riboy akasav gives him this responsibility to take care of his father's business and do smicha for his father. And then, this is really chazara from Maseches Erchin, and we also discussed this in Maseches Tumura, I believe. But if we just let me briefly point out this chazara in terms of the smicha. Right? Yeah, Erechim was more recent. Tumura was a while ago.
No, I remembered it, and I only learned with Erechim with you. I didn't learn Tumura with you.
Yes. So here, it's Nicha because he is the Bala Karban. Of course he does Smicha. And here you would say, no, it's Alpi Riboy Hakasov, even though he's not the Bala Karban. Now, and the Griz is very serious about this, says the Griz. He also says that other things in our sugya too. The Griz is pretty straight out, like Rashi here. There's a few Grizzes in our sugya. If you just look, there's two small Grizzes in our sugya. Takes the approach. He says, don't think the smicha is bal karban. I think this Grizz was on the Makoros sheet. He says, bevadai ki afshe yorish somech ein zemif neishumi balei karban. Right? He couldn't be clearer if he tried. Afshe yorish somech ein zemif neishumi balei karban. He's not the Bala Karban. He's just a smicha anyway. And therefore, he says a nafkamina. Says the Griz, a few nafkaminas within smicha. Is smicha out bailus? Or is smicha out? Or is smicha out a riboy akasov? That someone has to do smicha. Someone has to do it. Right? So.
Why not have the Kohen?
What?
Why not the Kohen? He usually does it if there's a problem with the Bala.
No, we do not assume that he does. So, number one is, what about, this is not very impressive, what about if there are multiple yorshim? There's a din called the Rabos Bali Chovrin L'Smicha. If there are partners, they all have to do smicha. Do they all have to do smicha? Or do they not all have to do smicha? Says the Griz. Only one is somich. They're not really bailim. Someone has to do smicha. Someone does smicha. They all have to do smicha. Says the Sfas Emes in Menachos. He says, why do you need to tell us extra times in the Mishnah that a yorish is somich? Must be to tell us that even if there are four yorishim, they all have to do smicha. Right? Says the Sfas Emes. Sfas Emes basically has an agenda of equating smicha's yorishim with smicha's bailim. And the Griz has an agenda, the Brisker Rav, of downgrading smichas yorshim. He says they all have to be somich. Okay, if they're really yorshim, they all have to be somich. They're shut from now. Of course, they all have to be somich. If they're not yorshim, it's a riboy. It's enough for one guy to do smicha. Mehechi taste they all have to do. Or another nafkamina might be: what if kvar somach hamorish? What if the guy died after smicha? Okay. It's I don't know how likely the occurrence is, because we say techef l'smicha shchita, right? Smicha done right before shchita. But even right before, the guy does smicha. What do you mean techef? It still takes a few seconds, right? The guy does smicha. And, you know, unfortunately, you know, in real life, it doesn't always work out like the way we think. He's so excited by bringing a carbon and finally doing smicha on a carbon that he has a heart attack and dies. Okay, yatsa nishmaso batara. Or they touch him. What if the guy dies between smicha and shchita? Does his son have to do another smicha or not? So says the Sfas Emes. Yorish is chayav lismoch, right? Because think about it. If the yorish is the new bailim, and that's why he does smicha, then he's the bailim. He should have to do smicha now. What?
He's not makdish the korban again.
Okay, so
but the one has some.
Okay, but anyone can be makdish a carbon for anyone, right? You don't have to be makdish your own carbon, but you do have to be somech on your own carbon.
How can't be the son has to be another,
right?
He's an oneg.
Correct, it can't be the son. The son is an oneg. That would be a bigger problem, perhaps, although that's complicated. I don't want to get into it. Knesset Rishonim deals with it and points out it's complicated in the Rid. So you're right, it's the nephew, Seder. And says the, but, however, says the Griz, and here he quotes from a foolish Rabbeinu Gershom, Rabbeinu Gershom or Hagola, that stands for, if you don't mind. He says, Potter, nah, only if no one did smicha, so someone has to, so the Yorish does, because, you know, better than a stranger. But he's not no necessity. Now, you could say that's totally on other things, like whether smicha is in the heft or the gavra, but we're not going to go there now. I'll just find one other nafkamina, which is, what about ish sheyorash meisha? This is sort of a similar nafkamina. If you say it's just that someone has to do smicha, if it was supposed to get smicha, someone has to stand in. Right? Alpi Riboy Hakasov, basically what we're saying is, Alpi Riboy Hakasov, you know, even though not Bal Karban, you know, he has to
He has to fill in. Right. He has to substitute. So you might say, well, if he has to substitute, only one guy does it. You don't need everyone to do it. Maybe he has to substitute, there's only if no one did it yet. Someone already did it. What if he yarshins from his grandmother, not his grandfather? So we take into account Morty's proper objection. What if he yarshins from his grandmother? So maybe she doesn't need anyone to substitute because no one's going to do smicha anyway. So I don't have any makaros in this, but one could say that he's pater in this case. And the minchas chinuch is besopik about this.
You could argue that.
The minchas chinuch, you could argue all these things, but I'm not going to now because it's not our main topic. However, this Fas Emes again, it was a clear agenda, and the maskanas of the minchas chinuch is that the Yoresh is Chayiv Lismoch. Again, if you say he really becomes the Bayil, it makes sense. He's an independent Chiyuv Smicha, same as anyone else. If you say he's not the Bayil, it's just a Riba Yakasov, then it might make sense that he has to fill in as necessary. But he doesn't have an independent Chiyuv to do Smicha. He only has to fill in what would have happened until now. Now, the last thing I want to discuss, of course, is Daf Zayin Amud Aleph. Shinoi Bailim La'achar Misa. Dav Zayin Amud Aleph Shinoi Bailim La'achar Misa. Zayin Amud Bet, that's what I wrote, sorry. Dav Zayin Amud Bet Shinoi Bailim La'achar Misa. What does it say on Dav Zayin Amud Bet Shinoi Bailim La'achar Misa? Says the Gemara in the Zaydav Zayin Amud Bet in the end of the sixth line, Amar Rava, Ola Bala Harmisa. Remember, we referred to this earlier in the four parables. Ola Bala Harmisa, Ola that's brought by the Yorshin posthumously, Shachlum Shinakodesh Tsuwa. Shinakodesh apostles it. Apostles meaning it's not Ola Shinakoma. Bishinu Bailam Shere, Shinu Bailam is no problem at all. Why Dain Bailam Harmisa? There is no Bailam Harmisa, so there's no problem with Shinu Bailam. The Bailam's dead. No, there's still Bailam Acher Misa. So Amalei Rav Ashi Lo Pinchas Bei Rav Ami. Davka Kamar Yesh Bailam Acher Misa by the Suro Acher Misa. Do you Davka mean there's Bailam? Like, we're not sure at first how much he objected. Rav said there's no Bailam Acher Misa. Did Rav Pinchas mean to say there is Bailam Acher Misa, but you're still right that was he just nitpicking? You're right, there's no problem with Shinu Bailam. But Taka, there are Bailam. Or is he fundamentally disagreeing? No, there is a problem with Shinu Bailam. He says, were you just nitpicking, and all you meant is, Yesh Bailam Acher Misa, were you fundamentally objecting? Yesh Bailam Acher Misa, Boi Lasu, Ola Acher Misa. It's a considered Shalom Lashma, Shinu Bailam, if we're going to hold off. Or Dilma, the Eke Kama Sega, Bein Mechapra. Or did you admit there's no problem with Shinu Bailam? You just meant there's still Bailam, Bein Mechapra, and Anasei. I'm really Davka Kamina, I meant Davka, there's a problem with Shinu Bailam. Right? Pinchas Bein Rami says, Shinu Bailam Acher Misa. So first of all, within Rav Pinchas Breder of Ami, before we get to analyzing this Gemara in and of itself, let's just ask two questions. Number one is, within the sugya, Rav Pinchas Breder of Ami clearly holds there's very serious Bailam L'Acher Misa. Because not only is it Machapar and Nasei, if you have Shinoi Bailam and Apostles, right? Who was he referring to? So number one, Bishitas Rav Pinchas, not Breder, who was it again? I keep forgetting his name. Breder Rav Ami. I wrote Rav Murray before someplace. Here it is. Breder Rav Ami. Okay. I'll just call him Rav Pinchas here. Bishitas Rav Pinchas, right? Who is the Bailam? He says Machaper on the Bailam. He says the Shinoi Bailam. Who is he referring to? Bishitas Rav Pinchas. Remember, you don't have to agree that we agree with Rav Pinchas. But Bishitas Rav Pinchas, here is Rashi and Rov Mefarshim. Bishitas Rav Pinchas. He's referring to the Yorish. That's what he meant. Right? Which was the beginning of our Gemara. Maybe it's Mechaber to say the Yorshim. And if you're Mishaner from the Yorshim, it's Shinui Bailam. You have to be Makar of the Shin Yorshim. If you don't think of the Yorshim, it's Shinui Bailam. And here's the Tzachnas Paneach, based on the Tosfos. Although, again, it was not far from a Furish Tosfos. So I'll write LP Tosfos. He quotes it based on the Tosfos, but I don't know how much of a proof in that Tosfos. Bishitas Rabbi Pinchas. He says, the Morish. You have to be makrevit to be a chaper that save the dead person, right? This is very explicit. You can be a chaper that save a dead person by bringing an ola.
as long as he was makdish, as long as it says all. And if you think about anyone but the dead person, it's shinui bailam. So Rav Pinchas Breid Arami, who we don't paskin like, by the way, we don't paskin like Rav Pinchas Breid Arami. But according to Rav Pinchas Breid Arami, according to Rav Pinchas Breid Arami, who do you have to be makrivit for? And if not, it's considered a shinui bailam shel lishma. Most people say the Yoresh. He's at least thinks tanya lahu. Maybe everyone else doesn't, but he does. And the but the Rugachover says no. It's the Morish. It's really the Morish. Now here is an interesting machlok, as I'll just point out. The according to Rav Pinchas Breid Rav Ami, there's a very, very serious bible, right? And here's an interesting question. Can our sugya, one second, let me just think of how I'm going to say this. Half a second. Yeah, okay. Now I just want to analyze the sugya. I want to analyze the sugya. What are Rava and Rav Pinchas Breid Rav Ami arguing about? What are they arguing about? Let us let's forget the Tzafnas Paneach for now. Let's assume, not like the Rugachover, let's assume that they're arguing about L'shem the Yorish, right? How are we going to do this? Yeah. Let's forget the Rugachover for now. Let's take the standard interpretation of the Gemara. According to, right, the standard interpretation of the Gemara, right, the Machlokas is whether Yorish is a full bailam, right? Or, no, let's say better, the machlokas is whether shinoi bailam applies to the Yorish. That's the standard interpretation. Whether shinoi bailam applies to the Yorish. Now, we just want to ask ourselves, what's the yesod of that machlokas? What's the yesod of that machlokas between Rava versus a Rava versus Rav Pinchas? So one way, how do you analyze the machlokas? What is the yesod hamachlokas? Right? So what is the yesod hamachlokas? If here we have Rava, I think Rava was the first person, and here we have Rav Pinchas Breid Rav Ami. One way is what the Karen Ora there says. I put that on the Makoros. Says the Karen Ora. They argue about whether our sugya is correct or incorrect. One way is that Rava holds Mikofya Mechaper, Kemo, like our sugya and Dafava Medalef, and Rav Pinchas holds Mikiva Mechaper Le Yorshim, and he argues on our sugya, Dafav of an Aleph. Okay. That's what the Karen Ora says. It says, really, Rav's with an our sugya. With our sugya, it's only Kufya. For sure, there's no Shinui Bailim if they only get Kapar Mikufya. And Rav Pinchas holds Mikiva Mechaper, that they get full Kapar, there's nothing in between anymore. But it's certainly possible to say that's a little duchuk. Like, it doesn't sound like our sugya is only according to one Amora. Simple pshat is we would like to say everyone agrees with our sugya. So if everyone agrees with our sugya, so this is one possibility. Or, no. Second possibility is that everyone agrees with our sugya. And what does that mean? Mikiva lo mechaper, right? What's the lashon at the end of our sugya? Turn the page. Lo mechapra mikufya mechapra. Mechapra mikufya mechapra. So what are they arguing about? So one possibility is, I'd say three. Two and three are both about this, as opposed to one, which is they argue whether our sugya is correct. So you could be they're arguing whether our sugya is correct. You could also say, no, they're arguing within our sugya. Then what can they be arguing about? It could be they're arguing about our chakira, right? They're arguing about our chakira. Rava holds like the Chazanish side of the chakira, right? Rava holds like, let's just say, what are they arguing about? One second. Argue about our sugya, or they argue about our chakira. Rava holds lo kanya lehu, like the Chazan Ish and the Griz and Rashi. And Rav Pinchas holds kanya lehu, v'nikrav al shemam. Rav holds it's not nikrav on shem liyorshim. Or let me make this more explicit. V'nikrav al shem hayorshim, like the Tzon Kodshim and maybe the Rambam and Tosos Mirmidayit. Maybe this is Gufa. Our Hakira might be Gufa the Machlok Samurai. Rava holds it's not Nikra of the Shem Hayorshim. Yeah, they get Kaparas Kofya. Kofya means they get a little Kapara for helping out. They get a little Kapara for helping out. But it's not really Lishma. While the Rav Pinchas says, no. Even though they get kaparas, kufya, kufya is a real kapara, just not 100% kapara, but it's really nikar val shemam. What's missing? In which case, what are they arguing about? Let me just, okay, my real estate might be a little messed up. Here, lo kanya lehu, and they only get a little kapara for helping out. This actually works well with the rach, especially. Kapara's kofya, since they do the smicha, so they get a little kapara for helping out with the smicha. But it's not really, the korban has nothing to do with them. They just do the smicha. Or for Rashi, it's a surface level. As opposed to, no, maybe or Pinchas holds, maybe he also agrees. But he says that kaparas kufya is a more serious kapara. By the way, we'll see in Daf Zayin that there's takanaf mina where the kaparas kufya is considered serious kapara or not. Le'inyan lo lishma. What if I shefted for someone who's chayiv kaparas kufya? I have to explain what that means. I know it doesn't mean anything yet, but it's 2 years or so in the Gemara. Kaparas kufya equals a real kapara that it's nikrav al shemam. So why isn't it kaparas kiva? Why isn't it a full 100% kapara? Because what's missing is they weren't mafreshit, right? It was mafresh for their father, right? It's just not kiva because it wasn't originally mafresh for the yorshim. And we know that, you know, the identity of a korban is shaped by its afrasha. So it's not a full kapara, because it wasn't originally mufresh for them, but kaparas, it's a kiva, but still, it's a very serious kapara, and it's nikrav on their behalf. Now I just want to make one third possibility, although that's going to have... Okay, now this is what Joel was going to say before. But you could say this is one, this is two, and here I'll have to have three. Maybe they're arguing about an earlier chakira about shinoi vaylam. Maybe, what does it mean kiva and not kofya? Maybe, it's interesting, it's nikra for them. It's nikra for their kapara. But what's missing? When it was originally hukdash, it wasn't defined as their karban. Meaning, it's being nikrav on their behalf, they're being makravit, but the definition of the karban is not them. Just like you can't change an ola to a shlomim, you can't change olas ruvein to olas b'nei ruvein. So maybe you could say like this. You could say like this. Here we have, says Rava, says it's mechaper mikofya. And what does that mean? Sorry. I meant to write that for Pinchas. And this was basically Machlokas, Tosfos, and Rambam. Says Rav Pinchas, it's mechaper mikofya equals it's nikrav likaparasam. And therefore, if you are makriv for kaparas acher, it's shinoi baylam. But what would Rava say? Rava would say no. It's eino mechaper mikiva. What does that mean? Is that the zehut hakorban is not olas yorish, but olas morish. Meaning what kiv and kufya mean is that right now they bring it for the yorish, but you can't change the identity of the karban. The identity of the karban is that it was ola of their father. And therefore, what would Rava say? Rava would say that since, let me say a little better, because I don't want to turn him into the Rebbe Trevor, but the Zehura Karban is not, you the Olet Yorish. And therefore, since the Yorish is not part of Zehut HaKorban, is not part of the identity of the Korban, a Shinoi is not Posel. I mean, even by Posel, I mean even not to be Ola Dechova. And remember, we had this Chakir between Tosfos and the Rambam. What is the problem with Shinoi Baylam? Shinoi Baylam means you want to give the wrong guy Kapara? Or does Shinoi Baylam means it's a real carbon, to the Baylam part of the identity of the carbon? Maybe that's what Rav and Pinchas are arguing about. He says Shinoi Baylam depends on who you want to be mechaper for. And Rava says Shinoi Baylam. And Rava says, and this was what we call Tosos. Well, Rava says, what we call the Rambam, in which case the Rambam would be happy with this analysis, and the apostle like Rava, he says, Shinoi Baylam depends on the identity of the Karban. Remember the sheet of the Rambam from 2 weeks ago, that Shinoi Baylam really is Shinoi Kodesh, just another kind of Shinoi Kodesh. And maybe that's the point. The identity of the carbon is not theirs. They can't make this identified as carbon hayorish. However, now it's being brought for them. Now they have the right to bring this and get kapara. So if you say Shinoi Baylam is bad, who's getting kapara? Then it's a problem Shinoi Baylam. That's our Pinchas. But if you say Shinoi Baylam is not about who's getting kapara, it's about the identity. Just like an Ola cannot be a Shlomen, Olas Ruvein can't be Ola Shimon, then since it's not identified as their Karban, then there's no problem with Shinoi Baylam, because the Baylam is not within the identity of the Karban, because the identity of the Karban is Kavua B'Shas Hektish, and can't be changed, and maybe that's why Rava holds that there's no Shinoi Baylam. Okay, so we have three ways of analyzing more enough Zayin, let's review. One simple way, the Karen Over like this way, let me just give his name here. One is the Karen Ora, and there's some other Chodim also say that.
Would you be willing to go back and say that is the distinction between Korban Hashut, Minchas Hashut, and Temura also?
Yes, I would. Anyway, so, just to review for a second, it could be that the Machlokas is that for sure Kufya is not enough to be Shinoi Baylam. So, Rava holds it's Kufya, and Ramari holds it's Pinchas Breid, Rav Ami holds that it is Kiva. Or you could say, no, they both agree with Agamor, it's kufya. But they're arguing, what does kufya mean? Does kufya mean it's cute that they participate, but they're not the bailam, in which case there's no shinu bailam? Or does kufya mean they are the bailam? They're just lacking part of the process, and therefore, but they're still the bailam, shinu bailam. Or you could say, no, maybe kiva and kufya means they're the bailam, the inyan, who you're being makriv, on whose behalf you're being makriv it. But the identity of the carbon, they're the bailam of the maisa hakrava. But the identity of the carbon can't change. It can't become their carbon because you can't change an identity after Hekdesh. And therefore, Rabba says, Shinu Bailam depends on the identity of the carbon, and they're not part of the identity of the carbon. And Rav Pinchas says, no, it just depends on how you're makrovit. And you're supposed to be makrovit for them. Okay, I know my third way is a bit of a speculation. You can take it or you can leave it. Some of these things will tie into things we're about to say. But we'll see that in a moment. Okay, Rafi, that's about all I have to say for yesterday's shiur. Now, going on in the Gemara, the Gemara in the middle of Daf and Aleph, we really already discussed this, so I'll just run through it. Ibay lehu kippur al mashabawo lo kippur. Right, when you bring a karmish lo l'shmatz, it's kosher v'lo olo l'shem chova. Is it mechaper on your sins, or is it not mechaper? I'm Rav Sheish Bar David, and we start looking, Ravad, it's not mechaper on your sins. If it was mechaper on your sins, then why do you have to bring another one? Hold on, there's not mechaper on your sins, why are you bringing it? This is his proof. If you say it's not mechaper on your sins, then why do you bring it? If it's not mechaper on your sins, because it started out as lishma, and therefore you still have to bring it, even become shalom lishma. Sheni lomu b'lechaper, then you bring another one for kapara el yomer kipru sheni lomu b'ba. But if the first one is mechaper on your sins, then why do you need to bring a second one? So it must be lo mechaper. Okay, we mentioned this in the context of the machlokas, whether karmen shel lishma is like nedava and mechaper, or you lose it entirely. This gemara sounds like the pashut pshat that you lose it entirely, unlike the sfas emes and the nitziv who says mechaper on your sins. What do the sfas emes and nitziv do with this gemara? So if you recall, we had two answers. First of all, let's just point out that one of the this Gemara, the Vav and Aleph, Lo Kippur, and this is difficult on the Sfas Emes and the Nitziv and the Meromi Sadeh, the Savri. Dinase nidava mamish umechaper al kama as averos asay kama what is the ik kama asay gabe? I'll just write kama asay, right? Meaning it's mechaper on many asays. It's still a nidava. This is lo kipru. So the answer is going to have to be, and we wrote this at the time, either number one tosos shita. The Mairi Rakba Asham. Post says our sugi is only talking about an Asham, it's not talking about an Ola. Okay, so that just proves it's not Mechaper on Mi'ila and things that an Asham comes for. But it's still Mechaper on Asays, in which case, in Cain, Lo Mechaper al Avon Asham. But on an Asay, it is Mechaper. And then you could defend the Sfas Emes and the Nitziv. Sfas Emes himself took a different approach. And he said, Lo mechaper al ha'asei shehevi olav. Mechaper al sharasei. He says, no. It's not mechaper on the say you brought it for, but it's mechaper on other assays. So it's still an adult mechaper on other assays. It's not just not mechaper on the say you brought it for. His assumption is that an adult is mechaper on various assays, but not on an assay that you promised to bring a carbon for. If I promise to bring a carbon for tefillin, and then I bring an adult, it's mechaper for my other assays, but not tefillin. That's become a chova. Okay, so that's a chiddush that an adult is mechaper for assays, but not on the one I promised to make into a chova. Okay, but that's the way to answer it. I'll just point out, Baal Peh, that according to Tosos, that this Gemara is an Asham, it reads much better. So what was his proof? It can't be mechaper. It's mechaper, why bring a second? An Asham, that makes perfect sense. You can't say it was machaper. Why bring a second asham if you already got kapara? Must be it wasn't kapara. That's why you need a second asham. According to Rashi, our Gemara is dealing even with an ola. And then the Achronim asks, it's a little tricky. Why does he say if it's machaper, why bring a second one? I made a neder to bring an ola. Even if it's machaper, I have to bring a second one because of my neder. So then it's Sifra says, if the Kiddush says, nope, you're not allowed to bring an ola if you already have kapara. You're only allowed to bring an ola if you need kapara. It's bal tosif to bring an ola if you already got kapara. He's medayik from here, big Kiddush. The other Achronim just say that, no, if you already get kapara, then you can't say I have to bring another one because of my neder, because you were yotze your neder, because your neder was really to get kapara, not to bring an ola. Your neder is not to owe an ola, your neder is to get kapara's ola. Okay, so I'll just, you know, maybe I'll summarize this very, very quickly. I'll say, what does Rav Shisha Bar Ravidi mean? The problem is that the Achronim all discuss this, but not as sharply as you'd like them to. What's his Lashon of Shisha Bar Ravidi? His Lashon is... or Sheshis, wherever he is, the E Salgadai de Kipru Shaming Lama Huba. The E Salgadai de Kipru Shani Lama Huba. Right, that's his Lashon. What does this mean? Lefitosos, it's talking about an Asham. And then it's Nicha. Benicha. She'em Kiper E'efshar Lahavi, or I would say Ein Tzorech Lahavi Od Asham. That's obvious. If you got Kapara, why do you bring another Asham? You only need an Asham for Kapara. Lefi Rashi Mayri Ba'ola. According to Rashi, our sugya is talking about an Ola. If our, and even Tosos, he says, so he's talking about Ashram for technical reasons. If so, then what does it mean that he said, if you're Mechaper, why don't you bring another one? Why don't you have to bring another one for your neder? The Kasha, Dilma Kiper, Umikal Makom, Sarech Lahavi, Ola Ach, Acheris? Yeah. Ola Cheres Kedei Lakayim Nidro. That's the question the Netziv asked that I put in brackets. So the Netziv's answer is Big Chiddush. Is that? Nope. Aser Lahavi Ola Im Kvar Niskaper Al Chata'av Mishum Bal Tosif. This is a big chiddush because we would have thought you could bring in all the stam. It happened to be mechatav your chata. You bring an ola just as a donation. He says, no. A non-sinner can't bring an ola. You can only bring an ola if you have sins. Otherwise, Bal Tosif. That's a big chiddush.
Everybody
has sins. Everyone has sins, but if you just brought an ola and got kapara, then now you don't have sins. Right?
Is that all the sins?
Yeah, because an ola mechaper and kama say in all your sins. I mean, all your sins that are subject to an ola, not ones that are too big. Right? But Be'gadashah, all your sins small enough that an ola can be mechaper. Right? Think about it. If I just bought an ola, if the first one's mechaper, then at this second I don't have sins. So how can I be high the second one? That's how the Netziv. But the other achronim just say that it could be that's a big chiddush that there's a bal tosif to bring too many olas. Then he asks, can't I bring 10 olas at once? You never heard of people who are noder 10 olas? Says, yeah, that's because I'm only noder that each of them is mechaper a tenth of my sins. But once I was noder one ola, I can't bring another because it was mechaper all of my sins. Big chiddush. The simplest shot is just to say, I think, that...
I don't ever change my mind.
You can't, according to the Netziv. Misvara in kiper az yatsa yidei nidro ki... Iker haneder hu lehiskaper. Maybe that's why he said, Rav Shish Meiri says, if you're mechaper, why do you need to bring a second one? So why not say that Siv asks you need to bring a second one because you made a neder? The answer is no. If you're miskaper, then you were yotzi your neder. You can't say I was miskaper and not yotzi my neder. Because a neder is not about bringing, it's about being miskaper. Okay, that's also a chiddush. Okay, well, I have to say one of these three ways. Now I'm ready to go on to the Gemara. Says the Gemara, here is a great Gemara. Why is this next Gemara a great Gemara? Because it's not talking about Shlul Lashma anymore. The truth is, neither was the Yorsha. But here's an independent whole sugya, which is not about Shlul Lashma. Ask the Gemara. Ibailahu, a'asegel achra frosha mechapra o lo mechapra. Remember, an ola is mechapra many assays. How about an assay after hafrosha, after his makdish the ola? Right? I say, this cow, or technically this bull, is an ola. Right? This goat is an ola. So, is it? It's mechapra all the assays I did till today. What's today? Thursday I'm makdish an ola. Friday I'm makrivit. Is it mechapra all the assays I did in between? Right, what if between now and tomorrow I forget to bench, I don't bench, and I don't daven shachris tomorrow morning, and maybe that's a, you know, whatever exactly, maybe that's not strictly an assay, and, you know, whatever, I find lots of, I leave lost wallets sitting in the street, and I don't help people unload their donkeys, and I'm Amish, I find every assay in the book and I neglect it in between, right? On my way home, I neglected all the assays. So is it mechaper on the assays after hafrasha or not? That's a fascinating question. What does the more explain? Normally, you might say it's like a chatas. My chatas, the kodem hafrasha in the lach or hafrasha low. If I'm mafresh a chatas, the only mechaper I did until then. If I mechal Shabbos again, it's not mechaper on me. That's clear in the way we pass it, at least in the Gemara, Shabbos increases. On the one hand, maybe it's like a chatas. Only mechaper on what I'm makdish it to be mechaper on. I say this chatas is mechaper X, Y, and Z, or X. That's what's mechaper on. I can't add things anymore. On the other hand, though, the chatas is low chet, chet, but the chet, chet, of course, you can't remember the chatas, each chet needs its own chatas. But an ola is mechaper in unlimited numbers of assays. If I bring an ola, it's mechaper in all my assays. It doesn't need to be specific for each assay. A chatas needs to be specific for this aveira. So of course I can't change it after I'm makdish it. But an ola is general. So if it's general, it's mechaper in everything until that frosh, and mechaper in after that frosh also. Not so crazy.
How do you jump from the past to the future?
Aha, okay, so hold that thought. Now, I don't have makoros about this. That's why all the makoros and makoros sheet are about side points that come up. But I do have an analysis here. Maybe you could help me out here. What's the yesod of the suffix? It's a fascinating suffix, right? Yesod ha-suffix. Could be better than this. What's the yesod of the suffix? Do we say, I say... Bilachar hafrasha mechaper. Is mechaper assay after hafrasha? Or lo mechaper? What is this? What's the yesod of this suffix? Okay.
When is the zahut of the korban
nikva? Right, although you'd think it should be pretty posh, the zahut of the korban is nikba b'shah hafrasha, but I think you're right. Let me just point out that I have a feeling if I ask Rav Lichtenstein this question, although he would be more likely to ask me than the way he gave his shir, he would say, well, this could be a suffix about one of two things. Either it's a suffix about hafrasha, which is more or less where Jonathan's going, or it's a suffix about ola. What do I mean by this? You could read this as a suffix about ola. Now, I admit, in the continuation of the Gemara, they bring a raya from Si'irei Chatas. So if you read it as something about Ola, you would have to say when they try to bring a rice to your chatas, it's Bidera Kol Shekain. You know, which is like even here, so Kol Shekain there. But one way is, it's a suffix about Ola. Here's a fascinating question. An Ola is Mechaper on... Right, let me start again. A chatas is sure Mechaper on Chai Vikrisos B'Shogig. An Asher Me'ilos is Mechaper on Me'ila. An Ola is Mechaper on Aseis. That's one way of looking at it. The ola is mechaper on assays. What's the kvios kapar of this ola is assays. Which assays? Any and all assays. Okay. Is there another way to end that sentence? The ola is mechaper on?
The person, I guess.
On the person. The meaning, why is an ola mechaper on an unlimited number of assays? It's a little funny. Maybe because the point isn't the assays per se. Nothing's mechaper on assays. The point is that it's mechaper on the person. It improves the person's ruchnius, right? Listen to the interesting lashon, right? Someone pointed this out. Someone in this room pointed this out. I forget who, so I apologize for not being the kind of Gemara in Megillah. The by a chatas it always says v'chiper alav, v'chiper alav, v'chiper alav. By an ola it says v'nirtza lo l'chaper alav. Meaning a chatas come to be a chaper on your wrongdoing.
It's clear.
An ola, it's not coming to be a chaper on your wrongdoing. After all, we'll have to see how this interacts. The Gemara says later on it's even an ola. It's not really a dobro. It's not really for kapara, it's just a present. Right. Now, what does that mean? Well, we'll have to see, but pashtus, mainstream, is that the ola is really just coming to bring me closer to Hashem. Once I'm closer to Hashem, meila, that's not machaper on big problems. You know, I can't just get rid of everything by becoming closer to Hashem. But the small things, which are not terrible crimes that I've committed, yeah, but more, you know, flaws in my worship of Hashem, mm-hmm, right, not doing assays. Right? It's not like I'm walking around with a criminal record here, with a rap sheet. I do do essays. It's just that I haven't become spiritual. I haven't become close. So the Ola makes me close to Hashem, and that's mechaper for the lack of these essays. The nirtzalo lechaper of love might mean that the definition of Ola is mechaper in the gavra. Mela, mechaper in the gavra from what? Mechaper in the gavra from essays, because that's just sort of miscellaneous problems that he has that can just be fixed by general aliyah ruchanit. Because in general, Ola is a tricky carbon in Chumash. What's the purpose of an Ola? On the one hand, it doesn't say it's for sins. You bring an Ola. Noah brought an Ola, right? And Avram brought Yitzhak Avinu, almost. How almost is not for our present discussion. As an Ola. It wasn't even Chafra says, that was just a way of coming close to Hashem. It was a way of showing a certain relationship, strengthening relationship with Hashem. But yet it says v'nirtza lo l'chaper alav. But it says v'nirtza lo l'chaper alav. So maybe v'nirtza lo l'chaper alav is this kapara is a side effect of the ritzoy. The kapara is not the focus. The kapara is a side effect of the ritzoy. So you might say it's about how you look at Ola. I know Rav Lichtenstein, he liked to analyze it this way. That one way of looking at it is that it's mechaper, or basically, the point of the Ola is the Ritzoy Hagavra. And the side effect is Kaparas Asay. Be'ikar, it's the Gavra. And therefore, B'shas HaFrosha, it's defined as Ola of Ritzoy Ruvin. So if Ruvin does more Asays, then it's still Maratz on him. It doesn't matter how many Asays he did. It's on the person, right? And the Gavra is the same Gavra that the Karban was Hufresh for. Who cares? You do more Sage. You're the same Gavra. It was Hufresh for Kaparsa Gavra, and you're the same Gavra, so it's Mechaper on you. So, it's Mechaper on the Gavra Ba'asher Husham. Right? What's the other possibility? No, that the Iker of an Ola is Kaparas Asay. It's really coming from Kaparas Asay. And therefore, Bishas HaFrosha, it was Nikba Le Kaparas Asay. You know?
Should be
Pitt. Yeshno. B'shas HaFrosha. If you say the definition is l'kaparas asay, then it's, once you're mafshit, it's the mechaper for that asay. That's koveya. I know, I'm not saying what Jonathan's saying yet. That's koveya. It's nikla as l'kaparas asay, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, but not H. But if you say, no, that's just a side of the Ritzoy Gavra, then it's nikla for Ritzoy Ruvein. Ruvein is Ruvein. He's the same Ruvein. Just because he did three more Averos doesn't make him a different Ruvein. He's the same Reuven, it's still a Chavrim. So it could be that it depends on how you look at an Ola. The other possibility is that it depends on...
Didn't the Britzko Rav have that about the Asham? I mean, whether the Asham is Nechav, which might be why an Asham might be an Ola.
So I don't remember where this is in the Britzko Rav, if, that's tricky. The, correct. But I did hear Rav Rosenzweig say this based on the Ramban. Maybe it's also Rav Rav, I don't know. Rav Lichtenstein, I don't think, says this in his Sefer about the Asham. But you can ask why an Asham turns into an Ola. Mm-hmm. Why, like, Chatas hardly ever turns into an Ola. It could be that chatas never changed into an ola. There's a rare case of leftover money from chatas, which it used for an ola, but the Gemara says about that, oh, that was always an ola, because it was never a chatas. You always had too much money. What? Only according to one sheet, as we mentioned, of Rabbi Yeshua, not so pashut.
But anyway, saying that there's no Asham Tzibur because the Tzibur is never a chotei. It's up on the gap.
Ah, okay. Fair enough. It's similar. The Rav has a similar vart in the Nusach of the Chasima of the Berkas Kedusha Yom and Yom Kippur. That had to be no Ashma for a Tzibur, only a chait. But anyway, says the Rabban, why is an Ashma different from a Chatas, right? If I was smarter than I am, I would be able to share with you the answer to why. In the Chumash, there are two different karbonos that come for sins, one called chatas, one called asham, which have very, very different rules, seemingly. Clearly, in the halacha, look in the Mishnah, Yom HaKovenant, very different rules. Some sins you bring a chatas, and some sins you bring an asham. There are many differences between a chatas and an asham. Now, if I was very smart, I'd be able to tell you why it makes sense that for these sins you bring a chatas, and for these sins you bring an asham. And don't think that I haven't spent a few minutes every once in a while over the past 20 years thinking about that. But I don't have an answer for you. So I can give you lots of answers if you're willing to be nidchak about 40% of the facts, but 40% of the data, but I'm not going to. If I can fit in 90% of the data, I'll answer up the other 10%. But that's where I drew the line. So I don't know. I'm assuming that since he's God and I'm not, that he has reasons even if I don't understand them. But there are two karbanos, chatas and asham. What's the difference between chatas and asham? Even though I can't explain how this fits every pasuk. So the Rabban says maybe asham is milashon shmama, a person deserves to be destroyed, and therefore he says more chummer than a chatas, because it's something you deserve to be destroyed, not just wrongdoing.
A little overdone, isn't it? Because all of the parsh perik dalid are just chatos, and at the end perik.
Yeah, it's tricky. After all, how can asham toloi, and how can asham toloi be more chummer than a chatas if an asham toloi is just suffic of what you bring chatas for? Okay. I'm just saying, at a certain point, there's Godol and Ki'ilu and everything is only goes so far. Lomaisa, but what you could say is that the difference is not really one of Chumra or Kula, that there's an Itziv on the Chumash who actually says, no, Ashram for things that are less Chumra than Achatas. So it's hard to tell, who knows what's more Chumra than what. It's very hard to measure some of these things. Anyway, Lomaisa, it could be that Achatas has more to do with the in the Chapra on the sin. And an asham focuses more on the person who is now in a lower spiritual state because of the sin. One could posit, if one wanted, that there's that the chatas has more to do with the sin and the asham has more to do with... this is not the way I would go, but I'm not going to share with you the way I would go because I don't have it properly worked out. Anyway, if you wanted to posit that a chatas had more to do with the sin and asham has more to do with the person who is now... Matzav shel shmama, who is now destroyed spiritually by the sin, then it makes sense that an asham turns into an ola very easily, and then asham has the same zrika as an ola, right? A chatas, you take your finger four corners, asham and ola, you throw onto two diagonally opposite corners, and you can see how an asham might be closer to an asham to an ola if you take that approach to an ola, which is a very mainstream approach, but I'm not going to get into that now because that all needs more work. Lemaisa, what I want to say is that one way of understanding the yisod hasafik is Ritzoy Gavra versus Kapara Saseif. It's about Ritzoy Gavra. Of course it's Mechapar Seva Achara Frasha. It was Mufrash for Ritzoy of Ruvain, and it's Ratzan Ruvain. Well, no one's counting Assays. But if you say it's really for the Assays, it just has power for multiple Assays. Then the moment you're Makdish it, just like a Makdish Achatas to Mechapar on Chelev, a Mufrash this to Mechapar on Tefillin and Sukkah and Lulav. Not on Shofar. Right?
It's difficult to tell someone that you're not allowed to get. You don't need to read so you're not allowed to do it.
I think you're right. Anyway, in which case it makes sense. Your mafdir is nikba for certain assays, so it's only mechaper in those assays. That's one possibility about an ola. But I think what Jonathan wanted to say is that maybe no, it's about hafrasha. Here's a fascinating question, and I'm going to be a little general now. What is mechaper? Is the hakrov a mechaper? Well, clearly, what's ma'akev kapara? What stage, the stage where then the kapara clicks? Zrikas Adam. Zrika is clearly ma'akiv the kapara. That's where it clicks. No question about that. But it's not necessarily only the zrika that's mechaper. It could be all the avodos are mechaper. Maybe the shechita and kabbalah and halacha also fine. How about the hafrasha? Is the hafrasha mechaper, or is the hafrasha just setting up the props? On the one hand, we might say the hafrasha is just setting up the props. It's bringing a carbon to be makrivet on the mizbeach and makes a mitzvah of mechaper. But to do that needs to be a carbon. You have to be kodshim lazara and achum lazara. So you have to be makdash it. And number one, that gives you the cheftza, also that commits you to make sure you don't forget to do it and you don't change your mind and get lazy, etc. But there's another way of looking at it. Maybe hafrasha is not just the setup, the prep work. Maybe hafrasha is part of the mechaper. After all, what do we call a carbon in English?
Sacrifice.
Sacrifice. What is the ikar of a sacrifice? Is that I gave something up that I could have used that was worth something to me? When do you sacrifice? You don't sacrifice when you bring it to the Beis HaMikdash and do the avodos. You sacrifice when you're mafresh it. It's mine and now I've given it away. It's not mine anymore. It's me'ilah if I use it, right? I've given up my property to Hashem, right? There's a whole discussion in various places in Shas as to whether hafrasha is koveya for various purposes or the hakrava is koveya. For example, an usher has to be worth two slayim. At the time I'm mafreshit, I have to sacrifice two slime. Or no, at the time I'm makrovin, it has to be worth two slime to be a chashav karban, etc. It could be made in the machlokas here is how important is hafrasha? Is hafrasha merely a setup? Or is hafrasha part of the kapara? If hafrasha is part of the kapara, then here we say hafrasha is merely the prep. Right? It's the hakrava that's mechaperis. Or you could say, no, the frasha is mechaperis. I don't mean alone. If I'm mafreshit and not makrovit, then I haven't gotten my kapara, but part of the kapara is the sacrifice. It's interesting, by the way, there's two ways to translate korban. Sacrifice or... I don't know how they translate in all the English Gemaras. I just know that the English Gemara that's written in my neighborhood, which is the Koran, they translate it as offering. So interesting. Sacrifice is the hafrasha. Offering is the hakrava. Right? Now, really, it's neither a sacrifice nor an offering. Really, a korban is a coming close. Right? Karev. Although maybe it's a crib, maybe offering is closer than sacrifice, but nonetheless, yesh bazeh mashu, if you say the hafrasha is mechaperis, then I understand. I can only be mechaper on what happened till I did the hafrasha. Once I did the hafrasha, then I already started the kapara. I can't change it anymore. Right? And therefore, what I was mafresh for, it is mechaper on. What I wasn't mafresh for, it's not mechaper. You don't have to like it. There's another possibility. Over here I'd say no. What I am makriv for, it's mechaper on, and etc. Right, so it could be that you're looking at what's the rule. You know, perhaps you could say in terms of defining or in terms of mechaper. I would allow for that subtlety. How important is hafrasha? If hafrasha is of crucial importance, then of course I can't be mechaper anything I had after the hafrasha. It's too late. The train already left the station. If the hafrasha is just a setup, by chatas I understand I have to set it up and tell you which chait because I can't have more than one. But by the ola, I'm just setting it up. I don't have to specify yet because it's very it's open-ended. So really, whatever happens, shasa krov, it's mechaperon. Okay, this is a fascinating question. I don't have very concrete. Like all over Shas, you see places where they wonder whether this thing depends on a frusha or depends on a krova. But none of those are like, each one of those could be its own sugya, and it's very hard to prove anything. But I think the fascinating question, sacrifice versus offering. That's a fascinating bedek habayit. It seems pasha to me that the hakdasha is everything. Although maybe someone disagrees, saying no, it's only when they use it that I get kapara.
There's no kapara on bedek habayit. It just goes into the treasury, doesn't it?
That in 2 days we're going to read from the Chumash. L'chaper al nafsho se'isha shematzah tzadah kliza havet tzadah samid tabasa gil v'chumaz l'chaper al nafsho se'inu l'nei Hashem. It's very clear that was for Bedek HaBayis.
Yeah.
And yet it was mechaper. Now, I understand not in the same way, so it's not so parallel. Okay, we'll have to stop now for a little goodbye. We didn't get to... I know someone's going to ask me exactly what are we up to.
Yes.
Exactly. So I'll answer.
I know.
We are exactly up to Daf 10, Part 2.
I know.
Okay, good. Anyway, so this is an interesting way of framing the issue. I think two very fascinating questions. What I want to come back to next time is the nitty-gritty of some of what we're discussing here, which is the Asham, the Matan Harosh of the Asham Metzora, and some of the other things being discussed here, and Leveis and Masta. We'll pick up with that Amir Tz Hashem next time.